Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns, and I am back once again to talk about your favorite subject, and that's your quarterback, Baker Mayfield. It is not by a huge choice here, as I am sort of trying to keep up with what we're doing at the OBR. If you're new to this, last offseason we started a program where we do week by week leading up to important dates, in this case leading up to free agency, looking at every position across the board, okay? Reviewing the position, all of the players in the position get reviewed, and then jumping forward and looking ahead at what free agents are out there, what big decisions. As we know, there is a huge potential for a move at quarterback, so there's a lot to pay attention to here. What we know is Baker Mayfield is back for next year, and we're going to talk to a bunch of people with that as the baseline, and we don't know anything else at this time. Obviously, if a huge decision comes to change course there, we'll broach it forever. It'll be a massive deal, you know, news story, whatever. It would be huge. We would cover it for weeks. But for now, we operate under the idea that Mayfield will be back, and we review him, we review Case Keenum, we review Nick Mullins, we talk about those things this week. I want to get some unique voices in here. I have a unique voice today, and I have some in the immediate future here that are going to be good. We're going to look back at what Baker Mayfield was coming out of college. We're going to look at options at the position and whether they're a feasible upgrade, so on and so forth. It's going to be a full week of discussions around quarterback, and I apologize because it's been an unavoidable topic since the start of the offseason once Week 18 ended, and honestly leading up to Week 18 because Mayfield made the decision not to play in the game and elected to set the date for the surgery, all of that. Now that brings me to my next topic, this idea that you have to log into Twitter every day and defend Baker Mayfield. I try to be as neutral on this stuff as I can. I wrote a well-researched, ridiculous amount. I watched way too much of a bad offense this year again. To give you an idea of where he struggled with my thoughts as to how he gets better, okay? I've done it. I've watched more Baker Mayfield film than anybody not associated with the Browns. I would put that up against anyone. I would, and that's not arrogant. I'm just telling you I've watched more of it than anybody else. And I feel very comfortable with the takes I have about him as a quarterback when I watch other quarterbacks in the NFL, some other quarterbacks in the NFL, what Mayfield can do, what he can't do. My opinions on the topic are very well documented. You do not have to search very far on the OBR website or these podcasts to find my opinion of Baker Mayfield. I'm not here to rehash it with you. It's a waste of time. We've talked about it. I want other people to give me their thoughts. But the thing that irks me is the levels at which we will go to defend him like he needs that defense. It started yesterday with a comment from Dustin Fowler. And listen, I've had Dustin on this podcast. I like him. He's always been good to me. I did not like his comment to Baker Mayfield where he went after him specifically and tagged him, said he's not good. I will tell Baker Mayfield at Baker Mayfield to his face, and I wasn't good either, blah, blah, blah. You can have that opinion. That's fine. A lot of people do. But in a market condensed where you have exposure to him, he sees you all the time. It's just not a smart decision. I just didn't think it was wise. I'm not here to tell Dustin how to have a media career. The guy's got great gigs and he covers college football. He's done amazing things. I just didn't like the way he went about tagging Baker Mayfield. Really unnecessary stuff. But to add to the unnecessary, Baker Mayfield, who had Dustin Fox blocked, justifiably so probably, went ahead and unblocked him just to like that tweet, or not that tweet, but a tweet specifically where he said that watching the other AFC quarterbacks, you can see where the Browns don't have that. Or so it was something along those lines. And Mayfield likes that tweet. Mayfield had tweeted out a bunch of things about, you know, I hate not being able to participate in the playoffs and watching it sucks and God bless. And the congratulations to all those who advanced. And then the second tweet of that was, I'm getting back off the site, keeping my circle tight, the toxicity of Twitter. Yet he goes out of his way to like a tweet from somebody that he didn't need to do that. So like, why? Like, what do you gain by that? I don't understand why you as a fan like that and why that's an okay thing for a guy you need to be a mature leader of your franchise. On a weekend where we're watching AFC North quarterbacks thrive, right? AFC quarterbacks put on a clinic. He's liking Dustin Fox tweets. Like, okay, you want to have an issue with the media? That's fine. Want to have an issue with Cleveland media? You do your thing. You think they're out to get everybody? You think they're out to ruin the Browns? Cool. You do you. You know, that's cool. But Baker Mayfield doesn't, if he's the leader, the multi-million dollar face of the franchise we want him to be, he doesn't have to stoop to those levels. He doesn't have to do that. Nobody's making him do. Why does he have to respond to Dustin Fox? Why shouldn't he be the one turning the nose? Shouldn't he be the one being the leader? I get it. You know, Dustin Fox is he's an older guy. Some other guys have said some dumb things, called him a midget, said they'd eat horse poop. They're proving who they are. They do themselves. They are who they are. But why do you have to stoop to their level, right? Why do you have to do it? And then if you're going to do it, be self-aware enough to say, this is who I am. I'm going to go after people who go after me. Not say to other people during different interview processes, I stay off Twitter. I don't read that stuff. Or go back and respond to your second tweet with, I got to keep my circle tight and stay off the Twitter. It's so toxic. You're opening the door for crit. Like, what are you gaining? What are you gaining? When are you... If you can't control the dumb shit the media, air quotes, I hate that, the media says or does, are you ever going to rise above it? Are you ever going to be a guy who fixes it? Are you part of the problem? That's my question. If you can't fix the media, then can you solve it by just not responding to them and doing your job and lifting to the Browns to new heights again and again and again? Can you do that? Can you not worry about what the people who are unimportant say about you? Come on, man. And we don't have to go to Twitter today. Like, I get it. Mayfield has gotten hate. I'm going to talk about this with Anthony in a minute. The hate has gone too far to the side of, like, he can't play. But then I saw a take from a guy I respect Jeff Lloyd a ton. A take about if he would have shut it down, he would have gotten vitriol for getting the surgery. Like, what? Like, what? How? Anybody who gets season-ending surgery for any joint tear, a joint, an ACL, what? Like, the serious things. A labrum on a thrower of the football is serious, to the point whether week two it was partial or full, week six it was definitely full, he had the bone break. You're really telling me Mayfield thought if I do this, they're going to criticize me and call me soft? Like, come on, dude. What are we doing? You don't have to go do that. There's a million things, I think, that have gone too far on Mayfield. But to say that the media would have attacked him for being soft and quitting on his team, it's like levels I just won't go with this stuff. I don't know why you feel the need to do this. Like, it's this log and defend situation. Let it all play out, man. You don't have to do these crazy takes. And I love Jeff. I do. He's good, dude. He's good people. He's been good to me. I'm not trying to go at him, but all these people, yeah, the media would attack. Okay, if there's a couple idiots, you know, that doesn't speak for the whole media. And if one of those idiots does something stupid, which they do happen to do on occasion, guess what? People call them out for it, for a dumb thing they wrote or a dumb thing they said on the internet. That's how it works. That's the thing that always happens. You call the quarterback a midget, people tend to then say, that's an idiotic thing to do, burn you. Maybe they don't lose their job, but they get roasted for it. If somebody had the guile to say, and guile, big word, I hope I used it right. Somebody check me on that. If somebody had the guile to say, Baker Mayfield quit on his team because he decided to get surgery to repair his labrum. Like, what? You would get called an idiot. You would get called an idiot and laughed out of an article, and nobody would take it serious. Nobody would take it serious. But again, if you want to believe that this is a thing that, like, Mayfield is dealing with, like, these people that will do whatever they can to whatever decision he makes, call him an idiot or call him out or call him weak or call him soft or call him bad. If you want to believe that, you do you. But I can't get behind the idea a guy gets a serious injury to his shoulder, one that you say changes everything about who he is as a quarterback, but you think somebody would have went out and been calling him soft and questioned it at the time, not after week 18 when he didn't play in that game, when the bridges were clearly burnt about his quarterback play and everybody was upset. I'm talking about when they happened. Everybody was unified on the fact that even after week 2, I can't believe he's going to keep playing. Even after week 6, I really can't believe he should shut this thing down. It was unified. This has gone way too far on the defending Mayfield spectrum, and I had to say something about it today. I'm sure it won't be the only crazy thing that I have to call out at some point. I mean, people are all over the board here, but I just had to say something. We're going to talk with great guests this week about Mayfield. Hopefully you can see some different perspectives. The OBR's Anthony Reinhardt is up first. Let's go there now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Excited to welcome in Anthony. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good, Jake. Yourself?
I can't complain. I can't really find myself upset, Anthony. We're going to Disney next week as a family, man. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, if I got bogged down by the dreary Browns, it wouldn't be right based on what I have in front of me. So, uplifting spirits, my friend. So,
yeah.
What I want to do is give you the platform. We have a lot of offline, I guess. They're online cuz they're in Slack, different channels, not out there in the public. Discussions about Mayfield and what happened this year. I've sort of leaned toward, and I tried to illustrate this today, not the point that I was talking about today so much on social with Twitter, but the line has moved too far. I think we've gone from understanding the limitations of Mayfield to overselling the quarterback he is on the negative side of things. I think there's, and I tried to put this in writing, even though my write-up was slanted negative because it was looking at what's gone wrong, there are still positives. And I want to give you a platform to tell me whether you think I'm right about that, wrong about that. Do you think the public has gone too far in thinking that any quarterback is an upgrade? Like, there's all these names thrown out. So I just kind of want to start with this. What did you think of Mayfield this year beyond the obvious? Do you still see things that remind you of what he was doing at the end of 2020? And do you think he finds a way back there?
Yeah, I think it's hard for me to say that that's the kind of the median outcome. And I kind of try to think about it in terms of like a distribution of outcomes with, how seasons are going to go. So I would agree with you generally that I think that a lot of Browns fans have kind of gone a little too far down the direction of being negative on Baker. And I think that we kind of forget sometimes how weird individual seasons can be and how much specific outcomes like his injury can kind of affect the results of an entire year. So mm-hmm. I think for me, it's kind of like, and obviously the offseason could go a million different ways, but in the event that they hold on to him and he's the starter next year, which I still think is probably one of the most likely possibilities, I would give him, probably less than a 10% chance of like resuming his 2020 form, at the start of 2022. But, even a less than 10% chance is it's going to happen, quite a few times. So, I think there is still an outside chance you could chalk up all of his poor 2021 performance to this shoulder injury and, things pick back up on the track that they were on. But even then, I still don't know if you would, it's hard for me to imagine he upgrades to like a Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady type tier where he's the answer forever. So I think that's kind of where I am, is like I feel like he's still good enough that he could get a second contract whenever he ends his fifth year in 2022, but I don't think that's the most likely outcome. I would still feel really comfortable with them exploring their options with any number of different guys this offseason. But I wouldn't, you know, close the door on him yet, you know, especially since they have him under contract for next year. And, you know, unless there's a trade, he's going to be the quarterback here next year.
Yeah, because what you're looking at is a lot of the discussion is centered around right now, can you find an upgrade? We've all kind of, I even think the people who are really against what he's become or where he's going have understood that there is an outcome here that involves Baker being back and trying to work out the fifth year. Is there any data that makes you either, you know, kind of nervous? I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of nervous data from this year, but like, is there any data that makes you feel like he's going to head back in the right direction? I'm kind of just curious, when you look at writing up some of these things about Mayfield and guys who can potentially replace him, where does he fit among those? Because you can pipe dream the Aaron Rodgers, and you can pipe dream Russ, and maybe Russell Wilson becomes. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know. But there's a tier of guys: Carr, Cousins, Tannehill. Not that Tannehill's available, but guys like that in that tier. Matt Ryan, who maybe Mayfield fits well above or well behind. Or I'm just curious if any pieces of data stand out to you there that you want to delve into.
Yeah, so I think in terms of positives about Baker's 21 performance, I would say early downs really stick out to me. His EPA on early downs in 2021 was seventh out of 30 players that had at least 200 quarterback plays, so either a design quarterback run or a dropback. So he was, you know, a top 10 quarterback on early downs in 2021, even though he was terrible. And he was terrible because the really important plays that happen on third and fourth down, he was just absolutely awful on, which is kind of an interesting dichotomy to the player that I think is maybe one of the most interesting replacements in Jimmy Garoppolo, who seems to be especially good in these obvious passing down situations. Mm-hmm. He's been top five in his two full seasons in third and fourth down EPA. The 49ers use him less on early downs than any other team in the NFL. So I think that he would be if you were to like just put a puzzle piece in and say, we want the late down performance of Jimmy Garoppolo and get by on his fine early down performance, then he would be the kind of the perfect fit. But, and plus, you know, he plays a lot of the same play action type stuff in the Shanahan scheme that he'd be working with in Cleveland. So I think that of all the kind of middle level replacements that aren't, you know, the big splashy signings like Russ or Rodgers, Garoppolo would be the most acceptable to me based on kind of the weaknesses that Baker showed this year versus the strengths that Garoppolo seems to have and how those would kind of flesh themselves out in a Browns offense.
Yeah. Is there anyone else that particularly stands out to you that you think is a realistic, real upgrade? So we're talking about, again, you know, we've gone on the spectrum of Mayfield here. Is there a guy that catches your eye where maybe, I don't know, doesn't have to be mainstream or not, could be behind the scenes, whatever, a guy that you've just thought, and again, Jimmy could be that. You could have just answered it in its entirety, but like, I don't know if there's anyone else. Like, does Cousins or Ryan or any of those guys, Carr, move the needle for you, or are you like a firm believer that that's not that much of an upgrade to Mayfield?
Yeah, I think it all kind of depends on what you got to give up for these guys. I think if the Raiders were to say, we'll give you a car for Mayfield straight up, I guess you'd probably take that. I mean, I would feel a little more confident about the floor of Derek Carr than the floor of Baker Mayfield. I'd say basically the same thing about Cousins, but I think he's kind of a notch above Derek Carr, in my opinion. But at the same time, I think when I think about some of these options, it's sort of like, yeah, you're increasing the chance that you make like the playoffs. But are you increasing the chance that you win the Super Bowl, which is kind of what we want to think about ceiling outcomes, I guess, when it comes to quarterbacks is what I'm trying to get at here. And it's like, you know, do you feel like Kirk Cousins is more likely to have a top five season than Baker Mayfield? Probably, but not by like a meaningful amount. And I think if you got to give up picks to get either of these guys, and you know, the contracts I think for both Carr and Cousins are Carr's almost exactly the same as Baker for the rest of it, and Cousins would be a bigger cap hit, but I think you'd take that if you really thought it was an upgrade. So I'm not overly excited about either of those guys, just because I don't know if they get you they get you closer to the playoffs, but I don't know if like you get closer to a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and then you have to re-sign him after that, which is a whole other thing, because it's like, you know, is Kirk Cousins the forever answer? And I would say almost certainly not, right? I mean, the Vikings have put some okay talent around him, and part of the reason that they've not been able to get over the hump is because they got to pay him so much, and his market value hasn't exactly gone down. But you know, I don't see that as like a forever solution for the Browns. I think it's got to be that you go somehow for one of these huge free agents, Russ or Aaron Rodgers, or you just take a lottery ticket in the draft, and you know, like, you know, 2% of first round draft picks end up being like Hall of Famers, basically. So take a 2% chance on one of these guys. If that's what it takes, I mean, it's not like the Browns haven't been doing that for 23 years, but I don't know. Like, I think they're in a little bit of a tough spot, you know, with regard to quarterbacks anyway.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think you made an interesting point, especially about Garoppolo, and the metrics on Derek Carr in moments that matter are pretty solid, right? I know mm-hmm. that the overall metrics, maybe you could look at them and say not as great as people tend to think, but I think most of our opinions are formed in the big moments of football, right? Big moments are 3rd and 7 plus when you know you have to throw it, and big moments are at the end of the half, and the big moments are at the end of the second half when you got to make a game-winning drive. Carr, Garoppolo stand out. Would you rather have, you know, obviously Mayfield can do things physically, better arm strength, not sure about the talent, but the strength is real, has that. Can you think, like, which one would you rather have? A guy like Mayfield who maybe he figures that out someday, right? Like maybe he gets better at these third downs that he's been so bad at throughout a large portion of not just last year, but his career. Any predictable pass situation, the metrics are not great, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, these moments at the clutch moments, and again, that's either of the halves. It's not great. It's like, is that enough of an upgrade where you say a Carr or a Garoppolo, they improve those meaningful moments enough that, yeah, maybe he's not, a Carr and Garoppolo aren't as effective driving the football downfield or something like that in the early downs, but the trade-off of making some more plays, extending drives, making some, you know, big-time end-of-game scenarios come to fruition is worth it in the trade-off. Do you think that that is tangible, real? Could you see them leaning that way, or is that just kind of like an unsustainable thing? I'm not sure. I go back and forth on it because I certainly see that Jimmy Garoppolo is not, he's not great. I mean, he's really not great, and he doesn't do a ton, but like he just does enough in these late game moments. It's kind of the same with Carr. He figures it out in these late game moments for the most part. And is that enough to sort of not just help the Browns, you know, do things and from a data perspective of keep a drive alive, but the way it impacts a team, right? The belief of a quarterback, this guy, and I'm asking you something non-data here, but like the belief of a quarterback, like this guy can do it in these moments. We believe in him when all the chips are down. That matters, right? So I'm curious if you think the Browns are going to really, really weigh that type of of performer, you know, because I don't think Cousins has ever been that guy, not a clutch moment guy. But Jimmy and Derek Carr, they kind of Jimmy's the more realistic of the two to get. It all depends on what the Raiders new GM and coach want to do. I get all that. But those two stand out from like, and even I think you could argue Matt Ryan's been okay in some of those moments. He's been in the biggest of stages. So that part of it, like where the Browns could say behind closed doors, we need a guy when the chips are down is going to be able to make plays for us when we need it. When the back's against the wall, when the crowd's the loudest, whatever, whatever, he can do it. Or is it like we just would rather kind of trust that Mayfield maybe gets there? That's an acquired talent down the road. I don't know. It's a tough thing to weigh, right?
Yeah. No, and I think that, you know, as far as clutch performance being a thing, I'm less inclined to believe that it is, and I kind of feel like, you know, in most situations that if you're good, you're probably good when it matters. Mm-hmm. If you're bad, you're probably bad when it matters. And, you know, you don't, you know, deviate from that too much in these clutch moments. But Garoppolo in particular has accrued a large enough sample size at this point where I would start to question whether or not he's actually, like, he might actually be really good and Shanahan is holding him back. Like, I kind of feel like with him, it's one of two things. It's either Shanahan is an idiot for not using him as much, or Shanahan is setting everything up for him and every drop back is just like the perfect situation where, you know, they've set up the defense so much with all these run plays and, you know, they get a huge box or whatever. So I think that is, you know, if the Browns front office believes that that's a sustainable, you know, that his performance in clutch time is sustainable, I could see them acting on that because those are the huge moments that matter, right? I mean, I think from, you know, the standpoint of just being a player or a fan of the team, you got to love when you have somebody like that you can trust when, you know, it comes down to the huge moments like that. And I feel like, you know, Garoppolo has, you know, and Matt Ryan, as you pointed out earlier, have been in a lot more moments than somebody like Baker has. So I would, you know, I would weigh that as much as anything else, really. I mean, it's not like we're talking about things that happen, you know, 1 out of 10 is a clutch rep. It's probably more like, you know, 1 out of 4 is on the clutch spectrum somewhere where it's a play that has extremely high leverage, good or bad.
Mm-hmm. It's an angle that I don't think we really talk about enough, how that sort of thing decides. It's so funny. Jimmy Garoppolo can play a really poor game, but they go down the football field and kick a 45-yarder, and then everything swings and the conversation swings. And a large part of the opinion on these guys moves from what you see at the end of these games. And I get it, because those are called money downs for a reason. That's where you get paid. That's where you get reputation. And I get curious as to Mayfield's well-noted struggles in money down, third down situations and big moments in games, and how eventually that wears on the confidence of your guys who you go into the huddle with. When you get in the huddle, look at your guys and say, hey, we're going to score here. Do they really believe you? You know, like it's certainly a thing that I'm curious about, how the Browns will covet somebody who plays. Cause we, you know, Anthony, we watched last year, the Raiders game, so many, the Packers game, where these are the Chargers game, and I'm probably missing 6 or 7 others that came down to one drive, one throw, right? One moment. And it's like, okay, do you have a guy who can do those things or not? And then the question you start asking yourself is, can that guy form that, right? Not 2 times in 4 years, like, okay, you did this against, okay, I'm talking really do it consistently. Can a guy get there? I don't know. I think they have to be, that has to be a huge part of how they weigh out the decision with Mayfield. So, I don't know which way they're going to go, but this is interesting because these are some buzz names, and I wanted to give you a chance to give your perspective on Mayfield and whether he comes back or not, and if it swung too far. And I think we nailed it. So I know everybody listening to this pod, Anthony, appreciates your time, your perspective, and likewise I do as well. So thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jake.
Look, I don't mean to be hard on Mayfield. I'm a guy behind a microphone. I just am trying to keep you privy to the reality of the situation. You got this media that most of you can't tolerate. You know, I think there's some really, really good ones in there that a few people give a bad name. I'm not going to delve into that. But, like, the idea that a few people ruin everybody else is something I hate. I can't tolerate it. I think it's unfair. I'm not trying to say I'm a better person than Baker. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing any. All I'm saying is if Baker wants to get where you all think he can go, some of you think he can go, then he has to figure out, okay, he's either saying if I can't beat him, join him and just attack the media back all the time, you know, kind of stand by that. Maybe don't act like you don't read things on Twitter when you constantly do, or just stop with Twitter altogether. Stop reading the comments, stop stooping to their level, rise above it. That's what you would hope that the franchise quarterback who has a great responsibility put on his shoulders could do. I couldn't do that. 99.9% of us couldn't do that. Is Mayfield able to do that? He was selected first. That reasoning he was selected first was so that he could overcome all of it. Overcome the on-field issues, overcome the management issues, overcome the coaching issues, overcome the ownership issues, and overcome the little ticky-tack parts of the franchise, which is a group of media inside of Cleveland, some of them who are perpetually negative and see things through the light of the losing situation that has happened here for 20 years. If he's not able to overcome it, he's going to be driven out by it because he can't handle it and can't figure it out. It'll be a part of why he's driven out. You know, the on-field stuff matters too. If you're really, really good on the field, you can be a dickhead. Look at Aaron Rodgers, okay, for the most part. If you're not able to handle the on-the-field stuff and you add the element of being a prick, it's not going to work out all too well for you in the NFL. You know, go back and watch the national championship semifinal, right, where they're playing Georgia. After that game, Georgia beats him. I don't know who the Georgia player was on the field yelling, humble yourself. Constantly yelling, humble yourself at Mayfield. There's just a lot here. Is he ever going to see the big picture the way it needs to be seen? I don't know. I have so much I have not talked to you about with this situation with Mayfield from people that matter, from angles that I just can't give away. Just conversations I've had. I don't mean to tease you, but I'm rooted in my belief for a reason. I trust what my eyes have seen on film, and I trust what I've been told. And I'm weary about it. I'm waiting for him to prove us wrong by doing the right things. I'm waiting. I will praise him. I've praised him before. I'll do it again. Do the right things for what this franchise needs and what your responsibility is, what the money they've given you tells. Do those things. And people will praise you nonstop. Combative nature all the time, not performing on the field. Yeah, you're probably going to get some pushback. That's sort of the way it goes in the mainstream NFL in a position where you were taken number one overall, where there's a lot of eyeballs on you all the time. So, you know, this is where we're at, guys. I try to keep it level with you. I, again, have said, and I'm going to cover, things have gone too far on the Mayfield spectrum, one way or the other. I think they've leaned way too far to thinking other quarterbacks at the bottom of the spectrum are, better than him. I just think it's gone way too far. He's not an incapable player, but, the things around the player have to at some point get better. I hope there's a light at the end of that tunnel. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. We're going to look at some quarterbacks that are either potentially available or actually available in free agency, trade market free agency, have a discussion built around, would you take that player over Mayfield based on everything, on-field play, salary, potential future contracts, age, all of it. So we'll look into that tomorrow. It should be a fun episode looking at the potential outcomes that could happen if the Browns were to make a move this season, or whether you keep Mayfield above some of those names out there. So check back in tomorrow. Thanks for joining today. Hopefully you don't get too burnt out on this stuff. Have some exciting things coming too. Appreciate you joining. Have a great Tuesday. Go Browns.